This is Heavy Typing. I'm Frank Hagen. I hope that everyone has had an excellent week. In this episode, we'll be continuing my novel, Marked for Harm, getting into chapter 4. If you're enjoying this podcast so far, send me an email. Let me know what you think. info@heavytyping.com. I'd love to hear from you. Beasts of Love. They came down the hill dressed in blood and wine. The wind was almost still. Hidden in shadow and illuminated by moonlight, the unfocused shimmer of naked bodies had moved slowly toward where I lay, unable to move. But I'm jumping ahead. My thoughts run away from me, but I am able to corral them somewhat, to focus moment by moment. I feel compelled to slow down as the end comes so quickly. Out on those country roads, I had started to think that I would change my mind, find a motel where I could spend the night. But the sun had set, and I had still not seen anywhere to stop. The only people to ask directions were working farms out among their vast acres of crop. I had considered stopping to ask them, and now I wish that I had, but I didn't like the idea of coming across lost to those simple people driving such a crazy-looking car in the middle of nowhere. I figured a good number of them would either call the police as soon as I drove off or pull a gun on me as I approached them. So I drove on, watching the fuel gauge get lower. The locale became increasingly rural, with the farms and houses separated by increasing expanses of rolling hills, coppices, and stranded woodlots. The sun had gone down quickly in a wild, tie-dyed wash of color. The Romeo's headlights spanned out in twin beams across the road and the trees that shouldered it. I was glad to have had that cup of coffee and wished that I'd had a second. I took a swig from my flask. Was it possible that I had taken a wrong turn somewhere? I suppose that it was, but I had learned not to question myself, for better or worse. I turned on the radio and found a rock station that came through clear enough. The temperature had dropped considerably so that I had rolled the windows up to just a crack. The fuel gauge was under an eighth of a tank. The orange switch was anchored in that nebulous zone of slashes where the gauge becomes meaningless. And worry that the car was leaking fuel began to steadily overwhelm me to the point where I eventually stopped the car and reversed slowly down the highway. Illuminated in my headlights, I saw what could have been a dark, wet line running down the middle of the lane, but I couldn't decide. What was it? Was it anything at all? Regardless, it was a fact that I was either losing or burning fuel, and I had not anticipated stopping to refuel again, as the car was, after all, on a one-way trip. Stopped in the middle of the road, contemplating the paranoid slug-slick kiss of might-be gas, listening to some 70s guitar rock, trying to decide what my next move should be, I heard the sound of a motorcycle engine roaring out in the dark. I saw the flash of metal in my headlights as the sound passed me on both sides, and I heard the squeal of tires peeling out in the darkness beyond my headlights. A flame burst up in the road behind me. I saw them passing in bursts, red canisters in hands, pouring gas onto the ground. One of the bikers was pouring gas down their own throat. The lights of the Alfa Romeo flickered off as the battery went suddenly dead. I turned the key in desperation, urging the engine to turn over. I could hear the cyclist circling me in the dark. The engine stuttered and the interior lights fluttered. Suddenly, as I was awash with panic, the car came to life again. I floored the gas pedal. Returning from some portal of static ether, the radio played the medley from Abbey Road. The car jerked into high speed, and I swerved out of control and off the road, narrowly avoiding driving directly into a humongous tree. I had crossed both lanes and propelled down into a ditch of briar thickets, where I crashed through a wire fence and skidded through a small field of brush and uneven earth. I was out of my seat as the car had rolled sideways onto an incline with the nose nestled inside of a cluster of small trees. All the window glass was smashed into crystalline shards. The hood and the trunk were both popped open in crinkled folds. The sound of combustion and laughter filled the air. Having been thrown from the car, I attempted to crawl away as an automatic reflex. Fire whipped into the leaking vehicle and ignited, just like a maddening cartoon, something I thought only happened in movies. The vehicle went up in a giant plume of flame. I felt heat on my back and glass splinters working their way deeper into the palms of my hands. There were shards in my face as well. I pulled myself up in a kind of push-up plank. The muscles of my abdomen involuntarily contracted in expectation of an explosion. In the ambient candlelight of destruction, I saw that the paper bag containing all of that sweet cash had been thrown from the trunk. Burning currency was blowing through the field around me. I had pathetically snatched at a $50 bill and watched as it burned away in my bleeding hand. The silver-taped cardboard boxes also lay strewn about, having also been thrown from the trunk. There was also the horrid mix of smells coming from them. Plastic, chemicals, cooking meat, all burning rancid. It was almost like an acid gas, causing a burning sensation in my nose and throat. Several of the boxes were torn open, and I saw various bloodied body parts now on fire. The victim or victims had been dismembered to fit. Among them was the distorted, smashed face which gazed upon me with knowing familiarity. But God, how was this even possible? And I saw these astounding sights spilled from their burning boxes in the clear beams of motorcycle headlights as my biker friends encircled me with their roaring steeds. A gnarled forearm came across my neck, knocking me onto the ground. I stared into the headlamp of one of those motorcycles and focused on the blue-white glow at its center as I was beaten by a fury of fists and metal. Perhaps I was momentarily deafened, as I can't remember making any sound, but tears welled in my eyes and fell away from my face. They had rolled me about on the ground like a rag doll, spat on me, and kicked my head. They laughed with wild excitement, their crude fury manifesting like a pack of hyenas taking down an antelope. A blow to the sternum with what I assume was the butt of a shotgun left me gasping for air and was followed with a similar blow to my temple. I was partially disappointed when I realized that they had gone without killing me. I wondered what the point could be. I managed to first get to my knees and then somehow to my feet as I wandered from the scene. Staggering in a shallow creek, I tripped on loose rocks and collapsed face sideways in its cool waters. With trickling water washing around my body, I looked up at the night sky and I thought about how the money had literally burned away. I kept seeing her face. It could not be real. The memory of it seemed to mutate. Everything happened with such abruptness that I couldn't be sure of anything. I could only repeat her name quietly and silently to myself. Summer. I heard their voices first. Indistinct words and chatter, then I saw them. Naked men and women. Something dark smeared over their skin, coming down the hill, out of the forest. They smelled of incense, of blood, and of alcohol as they lifted me up and carried me back up the hill. They muttered as if praying under their breath in gibberish tones. I tried to communicate with them, but found that I couldn't speak except to moan. When I looked at them, they avoided my gaze, their attention elsewhere. They carried me with my back arched and my head hung back so that I was half upside down. I watched everything in reverse as gravel rolled down the trail under their steps. We passed through a huge log-fenced yard, up the steps of an old two-story home, and inside to one of its rooms where they lay me on a spiral carpet. A muscled man wearing a sort of tight-fitting wrestling mask sat in a chair, one leg across his knee, and watched me. His huge erect penis lay against his rippled abdomen. His hands rested on his massive thighs. A woman sat down on her knees behind me and cradled my head to her breast. I felt my clothes being taken off and a damp cloth run over my flesh as others gently washed me. "Once," the man said, speaking abruptly, "someone told me that the world is going crazy." This man put both feet on the ground in front of me. A man and a woman, wine and blood still smeared on their bodies, knelt before his chair and began caressing him, stroking his stomach and legs. Others, standing behind him, massaged his neck and shoulders. As he spoke, he casually played with his own nipples. "We are not the judges," the man continued. "We are the witnesses." He stood up. His adherents groveled from the floor, craving for him. They struggled to pleasure him as he moved about. The masked man raised his voice and flexed his biceps. "I am the troubadour of time," he said. "Put your head up my ass and blow as hard as you can, for tomorrow may never come." He lifted a gilded goblet and drank from it, slowly, consciously, seeming to savor the liquid. The woman cradling my head lifted me and motioned for me to go. I hesitantly pushed myself up onto my knees. They continued to wash me with damp cloths, but nudged me toward the masked man, who turned around, lowered himself over me, and spread his cheeks. They edged me forward and held me up. I felt a gentle push on the back of my head and found my face against the masked man's raw asshole. He moved it in a circle and I felt it on my lips. "Kiss it," I heard a woman whisper close to my ear. The group began chanting their gibberish words. I reluctantly licked the ribbed circle of his asshole, finding that familiar taste on my tongue, grasping his ass cheeks with my weakened hands. They urged me with a kind of ambient energy. The rectum opened for me, warm and moist. Someone grabbed my cock harshly and someone else fingered at my own asshole. Somehow, others rubbed my bruised torso. They continued to chant. I felt cold liquid on my spine, and there was the smell of fermented grapes. Then there were tongues licking my torso, and I was inside a series of mouths. The masked man turned around and rubbed his huge cock on my face. He circled my mouth with it and then inserted it forcefully into my mouth, down my throat. I gagged, and he withdrew long enough for me to vomit before he jammed it down my throat again. I vomited again through tears. All about me, the room was swollen with wild enthusiasm. Bodies closed in. I was pulled into the center of genital cacophony, where they pleasured me without mercy.